Our reading for September 17th is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and stop there so that we can keep things in context and go back and look at some of these things that Paul is writing to Timothy concerning elders and deacons. First of all, I want to point out that when you come across the word overseer, as I read from the ESV, we're talking about the same word you might find as elder or pastor. And I realize that pastor has a lot of baggage with it today because it's a misused term by those in the denominational world. They basically would call anyone that's a preacher a pastor and misuse the word. But we're talking about those that would be fitting the qualifications here, and a congregation would agree to serve as elders over them. Along that same line, we also, once in a while, will come across a translation that uses the word bishop. And just as I mentioned with pastor, bishop has a lot of baggage with it too, because it was used by the Catholic Church and then turned into, you know, that man-made hierarchy that became part of that denomination. So keep that in mind, that when you come across any of those words, we're talking about the work of the elders. We could also use the word shepherd. Shepherds works very well, and I think conveys one of the most accurate meanings that we could use talking about that particular office of spiritual leadership within the local congregation. So Paul says, if anyone aspires to this office, he desires a noble task. And the work of an elder and a shepherd is not an easy work. It's not a work that just anyone could or should do. However, I want to make a little quick comment regarding these qualifications. Sometimes these qualifications are looked at as, well, these are like super qualifications. These are above and beyond what a normal Christian, if you could use that terminology, would meet. However, if you look through all of these qualifications, you realize that these are the goals of every Christian. You may not meet all of them, especially as a collective. However, they are what we all should be. I mean, think about all of them. Shouldn't all Christians be above reproach? Shouldn't all Christians be married to one spouse, be sober-minded, be self-controlled, be respectable, be hospitable? Shouldn't they be able to teach in some capacity? Not everyone should or could teach in a public capacity, but on some level, everyone should be able to teach, especially if they have children. You are bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They shouldn't be a drunkard. They shouldn't be violent. They should be gentle and not quarrelsome. They should not be a lover of money, and they should be able to handle their household and their affairs well and do so with dignity. And their children should be submissive. So understand that all of those things that are put forth as qualifications for those that would shepherd the flock of God, they are all things that we should, as Christians, be working toward. So we really need young men to not necessarily think, well, one day I'm going to be an elder. However, they need to be thinking, these are my goals as a Christian. And then, if I have attained that spiritual maturity and emotional maturity, then perhaps I will be able to serve as a shepherd in the Lord's church. So, when we're talking about aspiring to, it's a goal that we set, and it's a goal that we should set, but it's difficult, and it's not an easy work that just everyone can do. But let's set those goals, and let's encourage our young people to set those goals. For it truly is a noble task, and it's a needed task. The Lord's church needs those that would look out for the spiritual well-being of local congregations and the saints that are members there. What I mean by that is that they look after the whole flock in terms of the program of teaching and guarding against false teaching that might come in, and they also look after the spiritual well-being of each individual member. And that is a big work. Sometimes it's a very big work when you get into congregations that might have a lot of members, but they don't have very many that are shepherding that church. So we need to appreciate that work, and there may even be some instances in which it might even be a full-time work for some congregations, depending on its makeup, its needs, and their abilities. So they must be above reproach. In other words, you know, somebody may malign them, but it would be things that wouldn't be true. That means that they can't be two-faced, they can't be hypocritical, they've got to live according to what they teach. The husband of one wife, or that could also be put as a one-woman man, a man that is faithful to his wife. They need to be sober-minded or serious-minded. There's your maturity that comes into play, as well as your emotional maturity. Be self-controlled. Self-control is something that all Christians need to develop. They need to be hospitable, and that is that they engage in hospitality when it's needed, and they're the type of person that others could reach out to and let them know of needs or counsel with them. Able to teach in some regard. It doesn't mean that every one of them has to be able to get into a pulpit and present a lesson. There are different ways in which teaching can take place. But if they haven't been teaching at all up to this point, then we have no way of knowing that they are able to teach. They should not be a drunkard. There's no levels of that. This is somebody that's not given to much wine. You know, under the New Testament, they took some amount of alcoholic content and diluted it for their stomach's sake. Timothy was one of those Paul wrote to and said to do that because, you know, whatever was in the water was affecting him, and that needed to be that level of disinfectant. But we're not talking about getting drunk on it. We're not talking about anywhere close to the amount of alcohol that's in even the mildest drinks that you'd be able to find today. So not addicted to that. They shouldn't be violent or brawlers, not quarreling, but be a gentle type person. If there's somebody who's given to tempers and violent outbursts, then they don't need to be in that position. They need to be someone that can be trusted. Not a lover of money. Again, some trust goes in there since they're overseeing the work of the church, and that does involve the funds of the church. Managing their own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. If he can't guide his children into maturing, then they will not be able to guide others either. Must not be a recent convert. Again, there's your maturity coming back into play. Otherwise, they may become puffed up with conceit, and that can lead to many problems in the work of an elder, and not to fall into the condemnation of the devil. Must be well thought of by outsiders. In other words, they, an honorable type person, so that he not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Then we get into deacons, and he says, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued. You know, there's certain things that deacons are probably going to be privy to that they need to be able to keep in confidence. They don't need to be going around talking about people. They don't need to be the type that would be a gossip or a backbiter. Again, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They may be in charge of some funds of the church as well, and they don't need that greed being an avenue for them to fall away from the faith through that covetousness. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, that is, their faithful brothers. They must be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. I think that would go along the lines of not a recent convert. While you wouldn't necessarily expect a deacon to have the same level of maturity that an elder would, they still must have some maturity and be able to conduct themselves in an honorable and Christian manner. Wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers. That's, you know, the gossip coming back into play. Being serious-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife. Same thing you saw with the elders. Managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Deacons should be held in high regard as well. They are doing the Lord's work, and they are assisting the shepherds of a local congregation in accomplishing their work. For without deacons doing their work, then the elders have more on their plate, and it's going to take them away from the work of the Lord. We will pick up with verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 in tomorrow's reading. We'll ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.